Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker, and today on the show, I am talking to the founder of Fielding & Nicholson, Ian Fielding Calcutt. Fielding & Nicholson is an independent tailors which has been providing a highly personal, exceptional service, creating pieces from some of the finest fabrics in the world for 18 years. With origins in the northwest of England, the brand now has showrooms on Sackville Street, close to Savile Row, and in Manhattan, Zurich, and Manchester. And to talk about Fielding & Nicholson in his own words is the founder, Ian Fielding Calcutt.
Yes, well, I have been in tailoring just over 20 years now. So, I've always had a love for suits and smart clothing, particularly, and the luxury market and the luxury sector. And I remember when being a five-year-old watching some of the fathers pick up their kids in nice tailored suits. And I've always admired the suit. When I went to college, I used to wear three-piece suits, used to go out clubbing in, very, very dandy-ish clothing. So I've always been a massive fan of smart wear. And to cut a long story short, I left university. I really didn't have a clue what I wanted to do. So I went from various jobs, to retail, to PR, to admin. This role came up, and it was a job in tailoring, specifically as a front of house, working as a wardrobe consultant / stylist. So working with some of the most successful people of the world, basically styling their clothes and advising, fitting, making, doing alterations, making adjustments and building the bespoke wardrobe. So I thought that is, when you look at a job and you think, well, that is actually me. And it was just had me written all over it. And I just thought, I've got to go for it. And that's what I did. So that was the start of my career in bespoke tailoring.
Fascinating. And did you kind of have to learn as on the job, basically, because, it was completely different to what you were doing, what you grew up doing and studying?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So there's a lot of on the job shadowing and training. There was about 6 months worth of just sort of this shadowing and learning, reading every single book I could on styling and clothing and learning all the sort of the alterations process inside out. So how you basically remold a suit from scratch, how you build a suit, how in the history of the suit, how where the suit originated from, and also all about shirts, all about casual clothing. And yeah, so it was a very, very extensive amount of training, but also in client relationship management. So how to sort of deal with people and how to deal with your clients, or how to work with specialist clientele, which were very, very high level, ultra high net worth people. So yeah, it wasn't just about the clothing. It was about, well, how do you deal with these people? How do you interact? How do you, how do you work respectively? How do you follow up with people and do everything in the right way? So yeah, it was a massive, massive learning curve. Very, very quickly.
Yeah. And so I trained in a tailoring shop as well. And I found the first 3 months to be just a real eye-opener. You think that you know a thing or two about fashion, or at least I did, writing about it, but then seeing it actual hands-on and the dealing with people, like you say, it's right. The having to be yourself in a situation and also letting them be at ease, but having that personable experience with clients when you have almost next to nothing, like in terms of knowledge to kind of parlay to them, it's a real hard mix. I found it wasn't something that I could do easily at all, but it sounds like you really took to it though.
Yeah, I just took to it like a duck to water. And I think one of my friends who was in the trade at the time, and I think she the analogy she made is, she was quite into horses, and she said it's a bit like, when you're dealing with an individual, you have to take care, and you have to walk around them as if you would, it's like, obviously we're all animals. And she made a great analogy of how you take care of a client, how it's just work with them respectively and don't infringe in their space and all these things that related to, for her, it related to dealing with horses. And I just think, that you can't just go into it heavy-handedly and just treating everyone like a piece of meat. And I think, and I just cringe sometimes when I see, I go into sort of other soup making establishments and I see the way they deal with people, and it actually just makes me want to cringe, because it's almost an art. It's actually how you deal with respectfully your client. And I think so. I feel like that's, to an extent, has been lost perhaps in some modern day establishments.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I've had an experience where I've actually bought a suit when I was quite a bit younger, and even though I bought the suit, I felt like I was really hard sold the suit, and I almost felt like I needed a shower when I came out there. I'm like, oh God, I feel like I'm really just like a used car salesman's just sold me a car that I didn't even want, and I've never been back there. I was just thinking it was such a horrible experience. That was my first suit, but you're right. You have to give people their space. You have to give them, enough time for them to come to you and open up to you, and you're just kind of like there in the background almost. That's the way that I approached it anyway. You still want to obviously make the sale, you still want to get some business, but you'd probably rather not have the business and have someone have a good experience in the shop and then tell their friends about it than the other way around.
Exactly. And I've had exactly the same experience as you, that you had. I used to buy designer clothing really when I couldn't afford it. I mean, I came from nothing, and I was going to these designer shops and buying a pair of Versace jeans and this kind of thing. I was really excited as an 18-year-old, just got my paycheck and I could afford these expensive jeans. And yeah, you're treated like, sometimes in these places, like like a second-class citizen, like you shouldn't even be there. And
Yeah.
also by people that aren't trained to fit you. You walk out of the store and you think you look great, and then your friend or your partner says to you, "Those th that th that clothing looks horrendous. Like, what? How, have you got? Did you not look in the mirror?" And it's just,
Oh,
I
yeah.
like, I just, I suppose I learned a lot from my early days, my love of clothing, but also the bad experience that I had. And going into, remember that place, like that Ciro Citterio or Ciro Citterio, what it was called, that really sort of the high street, very much a high street retailer of suits. And walking out of this place, I thought, oh, I look $1 million. This guy was like, oh, the fit suit fits great. And then just looking in the mirror thinking, no, it looks like a sack. It's
Yeah,
horrible.
looks like your dad's suit or something.
Yeah, and then everyone's saying, oh, what are you wearing? I mean, it's just hanging off you.
That
Just
reminds me
looking
of the scene out of The Office, the American version, where he finds a suit in the skip and he wears it to work but doesn't
like
realize it's a woman's suit and he accidentally cross dresses, which actually happened to me once. You're kind of jarring a few memories now. I had this, I won't name the establishment, but I went in. And it was actually just a shirt, but I put it on. I was like, this looks all right. It's just a shirt. I asked the lady behind the counter, and she goes, sure, whatever. I was like, good, whatever. I took it back. My mate goes, you bought a woman's shirt. I said, okay. Well, look, I mean, I guess, but it still looks good. They go, no, it looks terrible. So you've got to take it back. Anyway, probably getting
very
pulled.
tapered through the waist.
Yes, it was. It was very, very cinched. I want to get back on track, and I want to talk about Fielding and Nicholson. So it founded in 2006, if I'm correct. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the launch pad for the company, getting that off the ground. How was it back then? What are your memories of, taking this business to the forefront?
Yeah, so it was, we started, I started the business, I met my business partner, Adam Nicholson, at the time, so hence the name Fielding and Nicholson. And we met, actually, well, we met in Leicestershire, but we started the brand in Manchester because I was living in Manchester at the time. And a bit of a clothing mecca, and what I later discovered was a great launch pad for the business, because there are a lot of people in Manchester who really, really appreciate the way they look and the style and everything, and it's a great place to be because it's a concentration of people. And I think particularly men, and I think also often men don't necessarily care so much about what they wear, not all the time, but Manchester particularly was a great place to be. So we started the business there, and it grew very, very, very quickly, from sort of just me. I was there probably for just over a year, and then we brought it sort of down to London, and we started recruiting people, tailoring consultants, we called. So we then grew up to 17 people within about a 5 year period. And so yeah, it became a, I would say it was probably about London's sort of second biggest or at least fastest growing tailoring company at one point, and it was definitely at least the second largest sort of on the visiting side of tailoring in the capital. So
Wow.
yeah, it grew very, very quickly. And yeah, and then we had to sort of take stock a bit.
Did you move straight away to Sackville Street? That's where you are now, is that right?
No, we didn't. No, we've had a few establishments, and we had a shop in Charlotte Road in the east of London for a period, and that was a great. It was more like a shop window. We had a lot of people coming in, and it was quite a big space that we had there. And yeah, we've had a couple of places, mainly in the east, but then we decided we just needed to be more in the sort of in the west because it's. You know, and I just love where we are now. I'm sure you've been there, but it's on the Mayfair area. It's very much the, I think the artisanal home of tailoring. We're just literally around the corner from Savile Row, and yeah, there's so many artisans there, shoemakers, tailors, hat makers. There's everything. So yeah, we just love being where we are now. I feel like I've finally come home.
Yeah, you've arrived. What is I was going to ask what the what's your USP or the house signature, whatever you would say makes you different, say from other tailors, not just on Savile Row, but on Sackville Street as well.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Yeah, I think the main thing that makes us different is that we don't really market what we do as we're tailors. We rather market ourselves more as stylists who do tailoring. So we feel like we're actually in a unique pool in a sense because we're not promoting. Oh yeah, okay, we do fantastic tailoring. It's we would say obviously some of the best in the world. We work with some of the best tailors in the world. So in terms of the quality of the product, we also put a 5 year guarantee. So which I. As far as I'm aware, nobody else does. So if you do, if something happens to your clothing within a 5 year period, or if you change size even, then we alter it for you free of charge. So that's one of the big, so I think going back to the whole sort of whole stylist service thing, and also I think my bad experiences as growing up, I just wanted it, I want us to offer the best possible service that anyone can get in a tailoring, in the tailoring realm. So that's what I'd like to sort of deliver. And I think we do everything we can to deliver that. And I think also our training is, you know, we're I think some of the tailors or some of the suit shops you'd walk into, you don't really know necessarily the amount of training that person's got. Whereas the average tenure with us is over 10 years. And we've read every single book there is about styling and tailoring. So it's so the quality of service level is we like to think that it's the best that a client can get.
And how does it work with styling? Do people that come in to the shop, do they have an idea in their head of what looks cool, and then you have to almost supplant your version of what they should be wearing and what should be working with their eye color, their hair, their shape, etc. How much is it them putting an impression on what they want versus you telling them the right path?
I think it really depends on the individual really. And I think unlike some places we don't really like to tell the client what they're having or what the house style is, or you know, this is what you're getting, and that's pretty much that's it. I think some people kind of come in and they really know what they want. So they'll say to us, I want, a navy suit, a gray suit, and a pinstripe suit. I know exactly what I want. And in those kind of instances, you don't then want to go, well, oh, hang on a minute. You don't want that. I'm going to recommend this and this and this. I would always say, well, I can recommend, but if you know what you want, then that's fine. We can just do that. But I think probably about 50% of the people will come in and say, I don't really have a clue what I want. So can you just help me? Can you star me? And in that case, we'll do it. So we'll go through not only just their suit wardrobe, their casual wardrobe and their smart casual wardrobe, and when we'll recommend things across the board to them that, like you say, match with their eye color, skin color, their body configuration, and we get all that much as you would if you went to a stylist, but then we don't charge the huge upfront fee that you would do with a stylist, and then they take you out shopping and charge you another fee to take you to the shops and everything else.
Yeah, which
Yeah.
is nuts, right? I mean,
Well,
I mean, I get
I've
it, it's a gig, but I mean, it's how much of a calorie burner is it to go out and shop where you would normally shop anyway, or go places where you'd normally go, but you're being paid to do it. It must be the greatest gig in the world.
Yeah, must be.
I
It
mean.
must be. Yeah, I think when I grow up, it's what I want to do for a living. But yeah, and at the moment, I just love what I do, and I do. I think the biggest kick I get is when I see clients I've been working with 2 or 3 years, and I see the transformation from the first day I met them, and that's what it's all about for me. I just love helping people, and I get to do that through my job.
And how often are you in the store yourself in?
I'm in the store, for typically a week of every month. So I tend to get my appointments, and people do bookings in that week. So,
Because I imagine people would want to, if they're kind of entrusted with you personally. I know you've got a team there, but people might want to come to you personally. As you've looked after clients for many years, for getting on nearly 20 years, right?
yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I like to deal with people personally, but my brother-in-law Lewis works in the business. And he's, just absolutely brilliant at what he does, and he's just like a mirror image of the kind of quality and service that I deliver. And then my other colleague Alex is also, we've worked together for 12 years, and he's brilliant at what he does. So it's not like I would ever sort of hand someone over to someone who's just, like a Saturday guy or something like that. They, say for example, you were walking into store left, right, and center, and this is the feedback I've had from new clients to us. They've gone into X, Y, and Z tailors, and their usual guy's not there. So then they've dealt with a Saturday person who is newly trained and who doesn't give them the deliver the service that the person that might have 20 to 30 years worth of experience has got. So that's completely diluted. So and that's what we just I would always just want to avoid happening. I want to
God,
give replicate the service that I'm giving.
that would have been me back in the day, me as the Saturday boy. When someone
Oh,
comes in and goes, "Where's the actual skilled person?" I'm like, "Ah, you got me, I'm afraid." I am gonna name drop, but only because again, it's just come to mind. I was in that tailor. I was working weekends as well, and Ray Winston came into the shop like completely
wow.
unannounced, and he starts like just kind of. He's really nice. He's nice as pie. He's like, "Do you want a coffee,
Yeah.
Pete? Do you want a coffee?" I was like, yeah, whatever." So he goes and gets his driver to go up and get a coffee, especially for me around. Anyway, that's fun. He goes, "Yeah, I'll have one of those. One of those." He's kind of pointing aimlessly, but he just needs a lot of stuff. And I'm so kind of like, "Fuck, it's Ray Winston in the shop." And I literally just watched one of his films the night before as well. So I wanted to let him know that I know who he is and that I'm very familiar with his filmography. And in all this, what's running through my mind, I forget to give him his shirts that he pays for at the end, and he just walks out, gets in the car, and goes
Oh
back to wherever he is.
no.
And I go into the fitting room. I'm like, "Oh my God, I've got like 6 bags of his suits and shirts just all sitting here. I've sold him, and he's just walked out." So that was a tough conversation to the manager the next day. That was fun. Yeah, I would have been that Saturday, boys. You're right. You need to have the people in there that know what they're doing. You can't just get someone in for a couple of hours as relief. So.
Yeah, you could just imagine him going home and say, "That Muppet."
That Muppet,
Oh,
and I bought him coffee. I bought him
and I
coffee.
bought him a coffee.
Brilliant. Oh, Ray. Anyway,
Days.
sorry. Getting back to you. I written down here that you do shirts as well. Are you a shirt maker as well, Ian, or do you have shirt makers in house? How does that work?
Yes, we do shirts as well. We pride ourselves on handmade shirts. We have a lady who makes bespoke shirts. We have one lady, so she makes them by hand in her home, just
Oh,
outside of
wow.
London. But yeah, most of the bulk of what we do is we have a shirt. We also have a shirt maker that they are sort of they are made in a workshop, but they are there's 80% handmade shirts as well. So
Wow.
yeah, people can fully handmade or they can have the sort of machine and handmade as well,
Yeah.
depending on budgets really.
And how much are people asking? I'm sorry, I'm big into bespoke shirts at the minute. I've kind of got
Oh, you
my feet
are.
in a bespoke shirt world. Well,
You're in the right place. Yeah.
so I'm just curious how many people are asking for bespoke shirts. Are they coming in and getting different details, and then you're going, oh, cocktail cuffs, nice, yeah, good choice. How is the bespoke shirt making world in your business at the minute?
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, it's very buoyant. I think now that a lot of people are wearing like chinos and shirt combinations for work. So now the expression is more potentially in a shirt than it would be in a suit than it, in the past. So yeah, so most people who come in will ask about bespoke shirts, and everyone who comes in looking for a suit will also do shirts for as well as a standard because. This is an old saying I learned my training is that, well, there's no point putting a bespoke suit with a non-custom shirt. So it's like putting plastic hubcaps on a Maserati, isn't it? It just doesn't, I know that sounds extremely cheesy and looking back, but it's so true, isn't it? It's like, why will you underdress a very, very expensive suit that you've just paid a lot of money for?
Yeah, exactly. And it does kind of show as well. Like, you can see how good a bespoke suit looks. And then if they haven't gone to town on a shirt as well, it kind of something maybe not consciously is off, but subconsciously people can look and go, something isn't quite right there, you know.
Yeah,
That's all.
but I
It
think
take.
so. If you're investing in yourself, then why not go the whole hog? And we would always recommend getting shirts made with a suit or shirts made with a jacket, just to kind of complete the look. Yeah, like you say.
So I might have. Let me just dial it back a sec, Ian. Are you a trained cutter yourself, or you have a master cutter there?
Yeah, no, I'm not a trained cutter. Yeah, the master cutter, Raymond, we work kind of hand in glove together. So he does all the cutting, and then we kind of talk together. We exchange photographs, and we meet to discuss. As often we'll meet with the client. So if the client also wants to, and sometimes I suggest that we meet the client with the cutter, and so then and. Raymond will both meet the client, and then we do everything together. And yeah, much like it's sort of the front of house in Savile Row, for example. I work, we work as the sort of front of house, plus styling the client, but also then work very, very closely with the cutter.
And Raymond has, I want to say he's been around the block. I'm not sure if that's the most polite way of saying it, but he's very well experienced, is probably the correct term.
He is, yes. He has been around the block. Yeah, no, it's yeah, that is fair to say. He's worked with some of the best tailors in the world. He's worked with royalty. He's yeah, what he's seen it all really. We have an ongoing joke. No one knows how Raymond is because he's just disclosed. So he could be any age. I think he's just timeless. I think he's just gonna live forever, basically.
Yeah, it's funny you start asking, well, which royalty? Was it Queen the First, Victoria the First? Which generation are we talking about? Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I mean, it's great to have someone at hand, I guess, that has seen so much as well, you know, and by the sounds of it has encountered maybe 99% of all problems that you might face in the cutting shop down there.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't, it's good to have a great team, isn't it? You can't, when you're dealing with the upper echelons of society and people who are spending their hard-earned cash, you want to provide the best possible service. And I think you know it's good to have two, three, four eyes maybe on four sets of eyes on the work.
Yeah. Very interesting. Listen, Ian, I'm just running out of time on the call, and I know you've got a hard out, but can you just tell us what's in store for the rest of the year? And are you doing any trunk shows? Can people get hold of you internationally?
Yes, yeah, we are. We're doing monthly trunk shows in Switzerland. So we have a partner who's a shoemaker called Ries Shoes, which are incidentally excellent shoes. They're also made to mesh shoes, but they also do off the peg shoes, and they're based in Zurich, Switzerland. So we have a room there that we use every once a month. We also have tailoring partners in New York, so we're doing a trunk show in New York next month. So
All right.
if people are interested, just let me know for dates or contact me on LinkedIn.
Cool.
And
Or Instagram, I was going to say as well.
or
And
Instagram,
Fielding
yeah.
and Nicholson, the website, fieldingandnicholson.com. We'll leave all the links in the show notes so that people can get hold of you for appointments and check out the website itself, which will
Yeah,
be
exactly. Yeah. And
good.
then we're doing an event with Panerai Watches as well on the 6th of July.
Ooh, where's
So,
that?
Panerai Watches in New Bond Street. So we're doing it's going to be a whiskey showcase in and obviously there's the experience of the watches and watchmaking and tailoring. All these things go together, don't they? So that's on the 6th of July. So we're excited about that. And lots of plans with online shop and then a website revamp. So it is very, very busy, and maybe my own podcast as well if I actually get around to
Cool. Oh, well, how about burying the lead? You mentioned that right at the end. What's happening with the podcast? Is it going to be obviously tailoring based? You get guests on, clients.
Well, yeah, I was thinking. But I think, I mean, you're excellent at what you do, but I love the kind of thing you do, talking to people. I'd rather actually be listening to other people than talking myself. So I think I've got a lot of interesting friends and clients. So I was thinking of something more along the lines of Tailored for Success. So tailoring inspirations for my clients and friends who've become successful, and how clothing has played a part in their rise to success for the that kind of thing. So yeah, it's in its early stages now, but any
Interesting.
advice would be much greatly received.
Oh, well, the only advice I can give you is just make sure you send me a link so that I can listen to it, because I'll be on board. I mean, it all dovetails, doesn't it? I mean, obviously people want to dress well, they want to build themselves up, they want to amplify themselves, boost their career, be taken seriously, show respect for the room that they're in, wear something nice, and good things will follow. So yeah, that kind of makes sense to marry the two of those.
Yeah, exactly. And if you can help a few people along the way, that's what I'm trying to achieve, really.
Well, you'll have to have me on. I'll have
Of
to
course. Yeah.
That'd be great. All right,
Thanks a
listen.
lot.
We'll take this off, Mike. We'll firm up the dates off air. But brilliant. Listen, Ian, thanks so much for jumping on. Really great talking to you.
Thank
Fielding
you.
and Nicholson, the place to go. And I hope to speak to you soon. You've been listening to the Menswear Style podcast. Be sure to head over to menswearstyle.co.uk for more menswear content, and email info@menswearstyle.co.uk if you would like to be a future guest on the show. Finally, please help support the show by leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Until next time.